You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Browns fans, Dog Pound Days at the Pro Football Hall of Fame are happening now through September 16th. Join Paul Warfield this Saturday, August 22nd at the Hall of Fame for an exclusive meet and greet as the Hall celebrates the 16 Browns legends immortalized in bronze. Details at profootballhalloffame.com/events. Yesterday I sat down with the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, and here is what he had to say.
Coach, this joint practice you're doing with the Buffalo Bills certainly seems like a great experience for the players and for the team. How did it go on the first day? What was your assessment of that?
We felt we got a lot of good work done. Great tape to teach off of. A lot of situations we were able to create. We wanted to get in the red zone, wanted to do some third down. Sometimes you go into a preseason game and the circumstances don't work out that you get certain aspects of the game practice, whereas here we can go ahead and script it, say, hey, listen, this is what we want to work on. You get to do it against another team. And in a lot of ways, it's better than a preseason game, and because it's also in a controlled environment. You can have a quick whistle that you're just tagging off instead of live tackling, and then you have the benefit of your quarterbacks. You can make a mistake in protection. Your quarterback's wearing a red shirt. They're not getting hit. So I'm a big fan of it. I'd never done it before, and just based on the results from day one, I couldn't be happier.
What were you the most happy with in terms of an on-field performance from either a player or a group yesterday?
Well, I didn't get a chance to watch them live. I ended up having to go back and see the tape, but I watched our defense play against their offense, and outside of just a handful of plays, I thought our guys really dominated the play, but both interior defensive line on the edges in the secondary. I thought our guys looked focused into it, and they were made plays. They made plays. We very few mental mistakes. And then offensively, going against one of the best defensive fronts in football, struggled a little bit early on. I thought at times made some plays later on, hit a couple big passes. But overall, I just thought it was a productive day. It was a good eye-opening experience for our offense to go against a defensive front like that, knowing that that's one of the better ones in football. If we can be productive against them, then we can be productive against anybody.
How important is it to you that, tonight you come back out there and the offensive line shows a little bit more push, maybe a little more intensity, and that the ground game does start to get going? Because I think you're right. If you can run against this Bills front, you can run against anybody.
Yeah, it's important. It's important for us. If that's going to be a cornerstone of what we do, we just can't keep talking about it. It's not going to, it's got to happen on the field. And that's been our mantra this season, that we're going to take our words and put them into action. And that comes down to every individual player, making sure that they execute their technique and they get a plus on the grade sheet. But it's a good test to go against this group. They're going to throw a lot of different looks at them. And we'll see who can think under pressure and get their job done.
You talked earlier about the run defense, and I thought watching yesterday's practice, they did a great job against LeSean McCoy and what should be a pretty good rushing offense. It seemed that there was, after the preseason game and some struggles with it last year, a real priority to set the edge, stay on the outside, not dip inside. Is that something that has become a point of emphasis for this defense? Funnel it towards the big man in the middle.
It is, and I think our edges, it was a little bit of a wake-up call that Washington game to, hey, we've upgraded what's inside, between Danny and Cooper and then Starks, and then also having the guys back healthy who we've had before, John Hughes, Phil, we have Billy back now, Billy Wynn back now. Those guys on the edge know that inside of them they have help. Outside of them, if they turn and look to their outside before a play, there's a lot of green grass, and they have to understand that. We're always preaching, do your job, good things will happen. And when you're on the edge of a defense, you have a little bit more responsibility. You make a mistake there. We made a mistake on 4th-and-1, gave up an edge, turned into an 18-yard run. If you make a mistake sometimes inside, it was a nose guard or it was a 3 technique, that might turn into a 4-yard run, a 5-yard run. So they have to understand that the implications of them, failing to do their job.
Travis Benjamin, I think, has had one of the best camps of anybody on this team. And you talked about yesterday the offense settling down, hitting some big plays. One of those was a deep touchdown to Travis where I felt he was interfered with on the play, got the proverbial and one, catching the touchdown as well. How impressed have you been with him, and what's the biggest difference you see in Travis Benjamin 2015 versus last year, first back from the injury?
I just think that the time has helped him. Typically with speed guys coming off of a knee injury, it really isn't until that second year that they're really back feeling comfortable trusting it. The knee might structurally be fine after a year, but I think there's that mental block there that, do I trust it? Can I go ahead and put it in the ground and cut? And he just said to me, because I noticed it coming out of the spring and a couple days into fall camp, and I said, what's the biggest difference? He goes, I just feel just so much more comfortable, whereas last year he was sore. It was hard for him to squat down, that he was still fighting through. We were giving him a couple days off here and there, that still kind of on a pitch count type thing, and we eased him into the season. But I think he surprised everybody last year with his ability to operate as a wide receiver and not just a return specialist. Made a lot of big catches for us, evidenced by the two touchdowns in the Tennessee game.
Yep.
And he's I think if you had to say from an offensive staff standpoint, whether it's Joker Phillips as the new wide receiver coach or Flip as the new coordinator, who's been the most pleasant surprise this year of camp? I think their answers 1 through 5 is Travis Benjamin.
Good to see Rabbit back out there doing what he does. On the flip side, yesterday, tough day for Justin Gilbert, struggled a little bit against Washington as well. What do you say to a player like that, and how do you help a guy get out of what seems to be a little bit of a slump when he's got such immense talent as Justin does?
Well, you have to be careful in just drawing too much attention to it. I've said it, guys sometimes just have to play their way out of it. What you don't want to do is overreact and press, and then it just gets worse. Then you start doing things outside of your technique and outside of your coaching that gets you in trouble. So it's just something where he's got to go out and he'll string some good plays together and then have one bad one. And that's the one that everybody remembers. And unfortunately, that's the job description for a corner, that you can play great for a lot of plays and have one or two bad ones, and that could potentially end up costing the game. That's the pressure of that position. But we're confident in his ability, and we know he wants to get it right, but he's just got to push through it. He's got to push through it and trust his technique, trust what we're telling him, and just practice with good habits, and hopefully that ends up with positive results in a game.
You've worked with some of the best corners in the league, Darrell Revis, Cromartie, Joe Hayden. Do you remember a time maybe with the Jets where those guys went through kind of a similar growing pain, perhaps early in their career? You'd heard about it and seen somebody kind of turn around and the light bulb come on and that confidence grow when you have the skills that Justin Gilbert brings to the table?
Yeah, and you get some guys that when there's certain routes or certain receivers give them trouble, and sometimes it ends up being more mental than physical. And it's the same advice. You got to push through it, understand the why. And there are going to be times where you're going to get a great route run by a receiver and a great throw by a quarterback that you can't defend. And that's one where you tip your hat and you're on to the next play. And that's part of it. You're not going to be able to defend everything. But that's critical for him is don't overthink it. Just go out and trust his technique and play.
So you've got the scrimmage tonight and then the game against the Bills Thursday night primetime on ESPN, the national television broadcast. What do you hope to see from your football team tonight and Thursday night that gives you a lot of comfort going into the third preseason game, which really is the final tune-up?
Just steady improvement. I think somebody paid us the best compliment the other day when they said, wow, your training camp's boring. And that's the way we like it. We just steadily, I think our guys slowly, steadily have gotten better. We've had very few days where at the end we've, as a staff, gone, wow, we took a step backwards today. That it hasn't been huge. It's not leaps and bounds. That's not how it's built. But steadily, we've gotten better. We've cleaned up a lot of issues that pop up as you play. There's no substitute for getting live reps, and I think our guys have done a good job, kind of locking in those coaching points, not just at their position, but at other positions, at other players at their own position. If I'm a safety, and another safety gets corrected on a mistake he made, I'm responsible for that. I'm in the meeting. I see the grade sheets, or I'm on the field. I hear the coaching point being made. That's important. I think our guys have really taken that to heart. This is one of the smarter football teams I've been around. We're hopeful that helps us with getting more positive results.
All right, Coach. Thanks so much for your time.
Great. Thank you.
The head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, there, and that was in advance of yesterday's practice. And I know he was very happy after yesterday's practice with the intensity shown by the defense. And we got to watch him. He was with the defense the entire day yesterday, smiling a lot. He was very happy with what happened. Jim O'Neill was very happy. It was one of those things that, this defense was supposed to be built on its secondary. Well, I'll tell you what. Joe Hayden was not out there. Gilbert was not out there. Kaywan Williams was not out there. Pierre Desir was not out there. Gipp was not out there. So really, you only had Tremont and Whitner of your starters, and you're running around with Charles Gaines, Kendall James, Batamosi, Jordan Poyer, Ibrahim Campbell, and yet this defense had a dominant session because of what it did up front. And if this can be a feared front seven with that good back end, the Browns are going to be very tough on that side of the football.
I agree, and it's something that we chatted about as we were watching the red zone periods. And, you know, for me as a former player, the closer I can get, the better. I loved hearing the calls, you know, with Jim O'Neill miking them in to the linebackers. And then just some of the communication, you know, the verbal communication between players on the field when you're that close on the sideline. I enjoy that thoroughly. And that's something that I was impressed about. As you mentioned, you rattled off the laundry list of guys that did not partake in practice. And yet guys playing new positions, guys playing with different roles, as long as everyone's on the same page. And this is a testament to the coaching that's being done, you know, by Halfley and Babich and O'Neill in general, that you can, if you can create a plug-and-play situation as a defense and not have a drop-off, you know, no one's getting exposed, no one's getting thrown off, communication's not there, you're letting guys run free. We were dominant down the red zone. There was one fluke of a touchdown because Tyrod Taylor stood in the pocket for like 8 seconds and finally found an open receiver, which we know is not going to be realistic.
Right.
Other than that, I loved what I saw, and that's a testament to these coaches.
It is a testament to the coaches, and we talked about that yesterday,
yeah.
The communication. You said that's the biggest thing with injuries. Can these guys come in and communicate when they're not used to being out there? And the fact that they could, you said, was evidence of great coaching in
great
the secondary.
Coaching. Great coaching.
The Browns have three secondary coaches.
They do.
Jeff Halfley, Aaron Glenn, Bobby Babich, who clearly are doing a good job with that group. And I thought, you know, Craig Robertson 2 years ago was vilified for his struggles in pass coverage. He's gotten significantly better and made a lot of plays out there yesterday.
I agree. And I think a lot will yet to be determined in the run game. But I think now at this point, based on what I've seen through camp, to me he's a better pass defender than he is a run defender, which is good.
Yeah, it's a pass.
You know, you always want to be a 50-50 linebacker. You want to be as good in the pass as you are in the run. You know, you don't want to be pigeonholed as one or the other. And that's where at this point, you know, Christian Kirksey's the better pass defender, which is why he's in those speed packages, you know, dime packages where, you know, another where Robertson might come out. That's something that he will evolve into becoming a better run defender when given those opportunities.
Yes, he will. When we come back, we're going to dip inside the mailbag for the first time. You can tweet us your questions right now using the hashtag AskCBD. Tweet at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35, at Browns underscore daily. Again, use the hashtag AskCBD, and we will get to those questions when we return. Also, your phone calls as well, 216-578-0850. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford.